Blog Talk Radio.
2 minutes until showtime. Until showtime. Your show will go live in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Reardon Report. I'm Hank Reardon, the fulfillment journalist at Conk.News, the best news aggregator on the web. That's Conk, C-O-N-K.News. This is a live call-in show. We want to keep the streak alive. 516-418-5472 is the number. Today is August 23rd, 2022. Honored to have the original gangster of Conk, Mr. Tim Conaway, is here running the board.
Yep.
And it's day 102 of me missing Jen Psaki from the of my life. I can't watch her news conferences. So day 102 is very sad. Weather is beautiful in Minnesota. Cool at night.
Unusual August, but perfect weather to go out fishing, get a little, I don't know what is open for hunting at this time of year, but
I think the geese opens up soon.
Yeah. And
maybe this weekend.
But yeah, it's nice to get out there.
It's beautiful. Our state fair starts on Thursday. It's the great Minnesota get together. And man, it is nothing like watching the humans there. It can be hard on your psyche about we have a chance.
yeah. Well, you know, I'm not a big fan of huge crowds, particularly when everybody is going in an absolutely different direction than everybody else. You've got 192,000 people in one place, and they're all going at a different angle. 192,000 different angles in the same spot. Especially if this weather holds, this could be because of the last few years and the pandemonium, this could be record-breaking numbers of people.
Yeah, people won't stay away because it's 90 or 100.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it's a good time. It's a good time. If you've ever been to the Iowa State Fair or the Minnesota State Fair, they're just good to see what's going on in the state and the food, the farming.
Yeah. all kinds of really interesting stuff, you know, especially when you get in the agricultural thing, which is how the state fairs, you know, all started. There's some, you know, some really, well, and you can find out, as all the city folks can find out, you know, about the cattle and the,
yeah,
and the, you know, the plants, all the stuff that goes on.
And Minnesota has a, it's a birthing building, so every animal that came off the ark is sitting in there dropping its newborns, from cows to chickens to rabbits to
piglets.
It's really it's a good thing for little kids to stop and see how that whole miracle starts. So I just can't get off these classified documents. Now, they keep moving this ball around. Supposedly there's 300. The New York Times leaked out. I mean, the Department of Justice is using the newspaper again to just leak this stuff.
Yeah.
Dribble it out there to see if people say, well, 300 documents, that must be a really big deal. Then they have to retract some of it because it's like, well, the FBI took 150 the last time they were there, so there's technically only 150. This thing just doesn't look like it can end well.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I've seen all kind of different numbers, 700 that might be classified. And, you know, depending on who is spitting out information about the stuff. And, you know, it's like you pointed out last week that there are the president and the vice president have unlimited access to this material. So the big complaint is, well, it was just sitting there in the basement. Well, it's in the basement of the president's home, mansion, whatever the accommodations are there at Mar-a-Lago. Secret Service people around all the time. You know, it's one of the most secure places in the country.
There's always a lawnmower, isn't coming in.
Yeah.
To grab a file to sit down and have a heater and review it, right?
Right, yeah. And again, you know, they call them classified. Now, today there was something about, well, you know, these levels of classification beyond top secret and the SSI and PT,
right,
and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, nobody was really looking at them. And then Trump had said that, well, he declassified these documents, which the president can do.
Yeah, right. He doesn't have to do anything. Just say they're declassified. He doesn't have to wave a wand, sign any paper.
Yeah, get permission.
He just gets to say.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's no committee on it,
right,
you know.
Right.
So, but, you know, this is the kind of noise that gets made instead of taking care of business.
Right, right. This is a good distraction from dealing with hurting economy.
Yeah.
And the, you know, just the inflation. And again, the interest rate thing isn't good. We're seeing this housing slowing.
Mm-hmm.
But still, if you can get in a house for 6% interest, you're doing just fine. That's a good interest rate. The problem is the house inflation, you're not getting the value for that house.
Right.
The interest rate isn't that big a deal. It's just that the house prices is jacked up, so you got to wait for that to come down. But they just aren't going to address this food problems that are coming and this labor problem. It just, if we can't get people back to work, you know, and again, it's a double whole bucket. We have all the baby boomers saying, I'm done. I've met my retirement criteria, or I have enough. They're leaving. There's no one to physically fill that position. And then if there is a body, they have no talent.
Yeah.
No talent.
Or no interest in doing the job.
Right.
You know, they're there to pick up a paycheck.
They're just taking up a spot.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah, because, you know, this doesn't fulfill them. That's
right.
I saw something the other day about people who are, it's called quiet quitting. And it's another one of these, you know, misuse of the English language, but this quiet quitting where they're leaving their unfulfilling corporate jobs to do these sort of work from home, you know, consulting or other kind of jobs, which some people can do, but, you know, we need people who actually produce things. And if you go into a production facility and you're just half-assed about it, it affects the product, it affects the delivery, and it's very noticeable, and then you get called out for it. And people don't like getting called out for doing a half-assed job or, doing the minimum amount of work that they can get away with. But none of these people basically want to work for somebody. They don't know what that means. They haven't had to do that. Their parents haven't made them do anything because all these children are special. They're from that generation of parents where, having a baby was a 9-month project. It involved all these, consult besides doctors, all these other birthing consultants, and all the acquisition of the tools necessary to be a parent, and all this other kind of stuff. Instead of just you're going to have a baby and you're going to raise it, it became this whole big thing. And so when that baby came along, it was with this great expectation, because I just, this was the phase one of my 9-month project, or my 9-month project is over. Now there's phase two of this great thing. And these kids are raised with no responsibility, no accountability. And now they're in the workforce doing nothing.
And you can't blame them because they don't know anything.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like yelling at the person behind the postal counter. If they didn't set the rules, they don't like them if you really asked them. It's just that's how it's got to be done.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. And that's the interesting thing that we're transitioning through. Are there just going to be fast food restaurants? That the marketplace will adjust to the labor force,
mm-hmm.
and the first ones to go will be the independent businesses, because the corporate businesses have the money to survive the dips.
Yeah, and corporations seem to be set up to have these layers of people with a very narrow amount of responsibility and absolutely no authority to carry out the responsibility. So, this halfway meeting the challenge is okay, because if you've got four people halfway meeting the challenge, then you're actually you're getting that one. It's taking four people to get the work of two people done, but they can get away with that. The independent business is you need everybody to show up and get the job done. Show up the next day, get the job done,
right.
And it's not happening.
It's ugly. It's really ugly. So I don't know how we got to that from classified documents, but we can get a lot of places quick. The other thing I want to talk about early in the show, again, it is a call-in show. Our number is 516-418-5472. I'm Hank Reardon with the Reardon Report from Kalk News. Dr. Fauci is going to be done on December 31st.
Yeah.
Now, the great one said he's not retiring. He's moving on to some better adventures and places he can make more differences.
Oh, wow. More differences.
Yeah. And I say, good.
Yeah.
Good, Fauci. Just stay away from people.
Yeah, well, 38 years in the exact same job, 38 years of one guy's ideas running things, and this is a federal bureaucracy, so...
But it wasn't his business he was running.
No, and nobody's ever held accountable, and in 35 years of that, up to 2019, he and his colleagues and his underlings had failed to develop any kind of response to an infectious disease that could become a pandemic. So that when we did finally hit a pandemic, they were running around scrambling, coming up with anything they could pull out of their ass to do this. And that was, this is not the CDC. He was running the National Infectious Disease,
right.
Health Institute. So that is the particular area of focus. And yet 35 years, none of that. And then run around, scream and shout, when in doubt, scream and shout, run about.
Yeah. Had a clip last night. I think it was on Tucker Carlson, or it was one of his first press conferences with President Trump there. And he's up there rattling on, he can barely see over the frickin' podium.
Mm-hmm.
And someone must have said, "Who are you?" And he kind of looked like, "Well, I'm Dr. Anthony Fauci of the NIHA." And it's like, well, from there on, you knew this guy's shit didn't stink.
Yeah.
And the taxpayer was paying for it. So I just like Rand Paul says, you can retire all you want, but we get power here. We're going to call you in to answer some questions that you've been able to dodge.
Mm-hmm.
The CDC and Walensky, she's another one where they just do whatever they want, change the rules in the middle of the game, and not accountable for anything.
Yeah, well, and there's no plan. And again, that's what these people are there for. They're not there to, part of the job is reacting to a situation. You get something new and different, and they're supposed to have the means to immediately tackle that and come up, identify, what can be done, do the science on it. But also they're supposed to be, have plans in action to take care of all this stuff.
Yeah. They're triage doctors is what they are.
Yeah.
Something gets out of control and you got your triage unit, you set it up, you have this path. Again, it doesn't have to be perfect. It's just you got to take the customer on a path. They took us off the cliff, not even down a path. It was just crazy.
Yeah, just all kind of random.
Make up this, make up that. Don't be near each other. Put a mask on.
Yeah, and it was all superficial. It was not the in-depth thing that you would expect from this organization. It was all superficial kind of stuff. They had no clue what they were doing. And that's the thing that gets me. These people should have had a plan in place. This wasn't the first big, scary virus to pop out into the public. We had the SARS and the MERS before this that somehow didn't turn into the big pandemic. But they were out there, and they knew more of that stuff was coming down the way. And, they knew that the Wuhan lab was experimenting with bat virus, and they knew that because they were giving them money.
Right. We're shocked. Oh, that's right. We helped finance it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Well, we're coming up on our first break here. I was on the phone earlier today doing an interview with the CPA, Wendy Barlin. And when we come out of the break here, we're going to play that interview. So hold tight for a commercial, and then we'll have the interview with Wendy Barlin.
You ever notice your home doesn't smell as fresh as it used to? It's not you. As homes age, paint and carpet, they absorb all different kinds of odors, seemingly impossible to get rid of over time. But the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier is guaranteed to eliminate those odors. The thunderstorm sends out the OH3 molecules into the air. It seeks out those nasty smells, germs, and mold, and destroys them at the source. If you're like me, maybe you have a child who suffers from allergies or asthma, it can keep those so-called trigger smells away. No expensive filters to replace. Its compact size allows you to plug it into any room of the house and go. Other purifiers can cost up to $600 for one unit. You can get several thunderstorms for a fraction of that. With the discount code Matt, you'll save an additional $10. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Enter the discount code Matt to save $10 off their lowest sale price. Again, go to EdenPureDeals.com. That's promo code Matt. You'll get free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com. Promo code Matt.
Thank you. right, welcome back to the Reardon Report. Earlier today, I spoke with Wendy Barlin about some accounting questions that I had, and here's our conversation. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Hank Reardon with the Reardon Report. Today I'm joined with Wendy Barlin, CPA, from the East Coast, if I have your location correct, Wendy.
You do.
Perfect. Well, welcome to the Reardon Report. I can get off into the woods with my thinking, and so it's always good to have an expert come on and course correct the way Hank Reardon thinks. So I really appreciate you joining me today.
You're most welcome.
Okay. One question I've knocked around, and I've asked my own CPAs, but they're always ducking this question, is the tax code different if you have a private C corp versus a publicly traded, like 3M versus a family-owned C corp? Is there two different tax codes for that?
No, there's only one tax code, period, but which pieces of the tax code apply to different entities is different. So there's only one tax code, but there are different pieces of it that apply to some entities and not others.
Okay, so that's my rub on how this tax system works. So we have lobbyists, right, working the 3M people for the 3M and these big major corporations, and then the majority of corporations are privately held. You know, they're C corps, S corps, and it just seems to me that that's just backwards. That if you're publicly traded, you should have a completely different set of rules than if you're privately held. How crazy would that be to fight for that, and again, the American dream is you can start a business. This is the greatest country to start one in, and you can take it to wherever your dreams and energy allow.
Yep. That's exactly right.
So what do you think about the proposal of how, you know, again, I just irritates me that this mammoth tax code has all these things in there, and as a small business owner, people are bobbing in and out of this thing. Like you say, certain things you have to do as a publicly traded company versus these privately held ones. And is there room, or would there be room, to make it simpler for small businesses and to have a simpler tax code for them?
I mean, we would all love something simpler. Certainly make my life easier if it was simpler. What I don't see is it getting any simpler. I see it actually getting more complicated every day. So I certainly think there'd be room for you to run for office and make these changes, because what I see is it actually getting more and more complicated every day and not simpler.
Yeah, and I think when I hear a professional like Wendy speak of complicated, there's more corners to run into as a small business person that you can get trapped in by the code. And that is not good for... Entrepreneurs are dreamers, and as we know, dreams can fall apart, and that's what happens with these businesses. I believe the complication is intentional. What would your perspective on that
be? I don't know. You know, I don't know about that. That's just not something that I dive into. I'm so in the weeds with business owners every day, trying to help them on a day-to-day basis run their businesses, that I honestly don't know. That's not That's not something I have a lot of time to think about. I am diving in, finding as many deductions for businesses on a daily basis as I possibly can.
Perfect. That's great to know. That's really what you want your accounting firm to be, is an advocate for you against the code. All above board, but there's so many little pieces and parts to move and to bounce around. It is amazing how, and you guys don't get this information till late in the year. It's always evolving because we have this just never ending Congress that just can never go home and stay there.
Does keep things interesting for us.
Oh, that's good. All right. The tax code is the same whether you're 3M or $100 million privately held C Corp. It's just the complication of the deductions and the code is where the big difference is. And the big guys are there up on Capitol Hill making it complicated. They've got the lobbyist money. Okay, number two. Now you're really going to think I'm off into the weeds. Is there any benefit for a person to start a sole proprietorship and have their employer hire the sole proprietorship, so you're at 1099, the deductions, you never hear about that when you're hiring people, but I'm just wondering, is that a tax strategy? I know you're going to be paying both sides of the FICA and FUTA, but would the other deductions, like the travel to your job, the clothing, could you get more deductions if you were a sole proprietor LLC?
Well, you can't pay someone a W-2 and a 1099 for the same work. So I think that's where your strategy runs into a little trouble.
Yeah, no, right. So you wouldn't be an employee of that company. Your sole proprietor LLC would be.
Right, but it wouldn't be an employee, right? Because that's a completely other world. You would be a contractor and you would get a 1099 for your work.
Yes, yes.
So you would not be an employee. And that's an area that has actually become quite a hotbed of controversy. And every state is actually dealing with it differently at this point. And so depending on what state you're in, you have to see what the rules are in that state about who can and cannot be a contractor versus an employee. And so for most of my clients, I always recommend they meet with a labor lawyer in their state to determine whether the person doing the job can be a W-2 or can be a 1099 contractor, because that has actually turned out to now be a legal issue before it becomes a tax issue.
And do we have to thank the car driving companies for that? Supposedly they weren't employees, Lyft. And...
Right. I mean, I think they used them as scapegoats. Yeah, I think they used them as scapegoats. And unfortunately, it's kind of gone beyond that, where it's now affecting anybody working in certain states that are service providers. It's kind of become this issue of, are they really employees or are they not? And so I always recommend, if anybody's even thinking about it, that you get legal counsel on that, just to be sure that you're not, evading the law in any way.
Sure. Yep. Okay. Again, to me, it's just, it's a total control issue, that because our federal government is just so slow and, you know, it's just so far behind. I mean, their computers are antiquated, their systems are antiquated. Pushing any of these changes just scares them, because they just don't have the ability to get up to speed with anything new very quickly. And again, we're going to get 87,000 new IRS agents. I'm just thinking one way to slow them down from attacking small businesses, which they're going to have, they have their eye on that, would be if people were forming up sole proprietor LLCs by the tens of millions, you know, they might get stuck in the office doing paperwork instead of out harassing taxpayers.
Perhaps.
I always have to take the angle on the, they make it just complicated enough where the majority of people are going to stay in the pen. Very few people are going to jump over the fence and say, forget it. So I just, that is, so if you want to investigate if being a sole proprietor works, 1099, you really need to talk to a labor lawyer in your state to get to kind of what the trade-off is. How do the deductions work, and can your employer actually employ your company as a, you know, and that's always the thing they always have is, well, you only work for one company, so you're really an employee, you're not an independent contractor. That's what's happened a lot in the construction industry.
I see.
And so that, you know, you'll have a finished carpenter or something that only works for one or two custom home builders. Well, they're looked upon as being an employee because they don't have a variety of customers. They have a very limited amount of customers. So I've had friends that have run into that problem. Any other tricks to the system for this, for an employee, or is it just same old, same old? I've been in the workforce for 40 years, and man, talk about nothing changing.
Right. Yeah, for employees, there's really just not much, unfortunately.
You're just hosed. You're hosed on the gerbil wheel.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. All right. This is, we ran for a month on the Reardon Report, and I'm here today with Wendy Barlin, who's a CPA, and she's been gracious enough to join me on the Reardon Report. About paying your fair share, we get all these clowns in government saying, pay your fair share, right? My answer is, so we asked for, had to be over a month, if someone could send in the formula to know if you paid your fair share, right? And everyone says, well, that's the tax code. And it's like, well, the implication from our government officials is are there people that aren't paying their fair share. Have you ever seen a formula, that, Wendy, that says if you do this, this, and this, you've paid your fair share?
I have not.
Okay. So that is a mystery. It is like, are there UFOs and Bigfoot? I mean, the way they say it, right? They shame people. In my eyes, I mean, that is, this is a bully technique to keep people in being conformist, right? How do they, what are they implying by saying pay your fair share in your estimation?
You know, I don't really know. My day is get up, brush my teeth, go to work, do the very best I can for every client that comes across my desk. And I don't really have a definition, in my opinion, of what fair share would be. I'm not even sure what the word fair means anymore, to be honest. I think we're all just trying to do the very best we can to get through our day and treat others the way we would like to be treated. I think that's kind of been my best way to make it through my day.
Perfect. I mean, I agree with you. I think, again, to me, it's a buzzword that gets, that can float around. You know, when you ask people, they don't have any, you know, stand at a bar one Friday night and say, are you paying your fair share? And people, boy, they'll let you know they are. And more.
Yeah.
Right? And this is why I think it's fraudulent at Conk News. That's our news aggregation site. I have the title of a fulfillment journalist because these are questions I don't see anyone asking. You know, is there a better way as an employee to be employed?
Right.
The system doesn't want you even thinking about it. It's total whack-a-mole. You stick your head up and say that, whack, get back down. You know, is the tax code fair between a C corp privately held and 3M? I would say there's no way. Just because we get none of the trinkets that these big publicly held, publicly traded companies get, and it's not their money. It's the tax, or it's their shareholders' money, and yet they get to play victim to it. And here's why I think this pay your fair share, I mean, as a taxpayer, people need to push back. If they want to push back on something, this is how you would do it. You would say Liz Cheney came into Congress with a net worth of around $6 million. She's leaving after six-some years with $40 million. Now, she hasn't created anything. She doesn't have a business. And if you were, if the tax code was really that wrenching on you, right, she must have gotten everything in capital gains, right? That's the lowest taxable bracket you could be, or taxable exposure you would have.
You know, I really am not educated on what her situation is.
But yeah, no, I'm just saying in general, if the best place, like Warren Buffett always says, his secretary pays more in taxes than he does. Well, yeah, she's paying, she can't be a sole LLC getting all the deductions, right? And he's paying just capital gains off the earnings off his investments, right? The return. So isn't that the better way? If you can earn your money off of capital gains, you're only paying, what, 20%?
It really just depends. It's person to person. It's really hard to make such a broad generalization.
Okay. But it's better than payroll taxes.
Well, but, you know, payroll taxes are different than income taxes, that are different than city taxes, that are different than sales taxes. And so tax in and of itself is such a broad topic that people will say to me, oh, I don't pay any tax. Okay, what kind of tax don't you pay? Because do you pay sales tax? Do you pay payroll tax? Do you pay income tax? And so I think, you know, there's a lot of mud around, oh, I don't pay any tax. Okay, well, you know, that's just a very broad generalization. So I don't know. We could line up their tax returns. We could line up their lives and their cash bank statements and figure out exactly who's paying what. But I just don't know.
Okay. Yeah, and that is right. People don't understand the sales tax, the business is collecting. The business is just a conduit to get the tax from the consumer to the taxing authority, state or federal, you know. And they did figure that out early, right? You're not going to have the employees sending in their tax. You're going to have to whack too many moles on the head. You just want to have to whack the business owners. It's easier to cut one head off than 50 if there's 50 employees in a company. And so from my view, that's why it's the employer. They want the employer to have the responsibility. It's just easier to maintain the symmetry of the system. Am I accurate with that?
You know, again, those systems were set up such a long time ago. I just don't know what the intention was when payroll tax and Social Security and Medicare and all of those other taxes were put into the payroll code. They've been around for way before my time. So I don't know what their intention was when they set up those payroll taxes.
Sure.
I know how it works today. I know what the rules are, and I make sure that my clients obey the rules, so that we don't end up with issues. Because at the end of the day, what I'm really trying to do is to help people grow businesses that put some money in their pocket that they can do good things in the world with. And that is our intention.
Yeah. Yep. That's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it. So that's my three questions for you, Wendy. Do you have any parting shots for me?
I don't. I would say, you know, just keep asking. We live in a culture and a society where we welcome questions. So I think all questions are good questions, and everybody needs to keep asking and not just accept what's being put in front of them.
Well said. I couldn't agree more. And when the authority doesn't like you asking questions, you know you're over the target. And with that, I want to thank you today, Wendy Barlin, CPA. Thanks for your time.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to head off to a commercial here. We'll be right back.
Don't wait to find out if inflation will ruin your retirement plan. Gold and other precious metals are a real defensive measure against today's rising inflation and scary road ahead. Listen to my friend Alan Johnson from United Gold Group.
Thousands of Americans already know the only safe investment are those backed by real value. Gold increases in value, strengthening and securing your investment. United Gold Group offers the lowest prices in the precious metals market, so it's easy for anyone to invest. So for a limited time, receive up to $2,500 in free gold when you sign up for a gold IRA.
United Gold Group makes gold ownership affordable and quick. They'll deliver gold and other precious metals to you securely within 72 hours. Call United Gold Group today at 800-753-8534. That's 800-753-8534. Or visit UnitedGoldGroup.com. That's UnitedGoldGroup.com.
All right. Welcome back to the Reardon Report. Again, I want to thank Wendy Barlin for getting on the phone with me today and tackling three questions. The big one for me is that just this tax code is off its rocker. And Conaway, you got some statistics, right, about this tax code?
Yeah, well, I saw the other day that the tax code, the federal tax code, is 6,871 pages. In addition to the tax code, there are tax regulations. I don't know what the difference is, but they are different somehow and additional. And in addition to the tax code and the tax regulations, there are tax guidelines. So altogether, you take all three of those together, you've got 75,000 pages of code, regulations, and guidance that somebody has to go through and figure out what is what. It's a totally unmanageable situation, and I don't think even the CPAs can be expected to know what is going on. I mean, for every question, like Wendy was saying, there's this one's different, that one's different. For every individual question, they've got to do a search. I mean, fortunately, on the internet or with the electronics, you can search a little bit more easily, but it's 75,000 pages you got to look through to come up with one answer for one situation and hope that it isn't contradicted somewhere else in all this stuff, because this wasn't all compiled in one sitting. It's been added to, amended, everything over the years to the point that, you could think you're doing the right thing and you could have your citations of where you got it from, and the IRS could still say, no, you're wrong, because on page 62,107, paragraph 4, it says something completely different than what you did. So this is one example that shows reflects the entire federal government, this big overwhelming amount of stuff going on, overwhelming number of departments and agencies and bureaus and divisions that, frankly, none of them know what the other one is doing. It didn't all come about at one time. And no matter what you do, they can find some way to, you know, to get down on your ass. So, when I saw that, I knew the tax code was huge, but I didn't realize there were also regulations and guidelines on top of that.
Right. And then they have precedent and the generally accepted practices gap.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear the caution in Wendy's voice. Like, you got no idea what you're trying to unwind here.
Yeah.
And I have 100% clarity on what's got to be unwound here. And that's exactly it. They take everyone and throw them in one barrel. And then if you happen to float to the top, just for whatever reason, they get to snatch you out and make you an example.
Yeah.
And the barrel is filled with highly successful people, Major League Baseball, football players that have huge incomes. They're in there meddling around trying to figure this shit out. And then you have this ugly corporate America that is the total scourge on our society because they only do what's good for them and they have no soul. Mm-hmm. It's just an entity of money.
Yeah.
And so if it's good for this CFO playing golf with the 3M CFO and the Target CFO and the General Mills CFO, because they're all right here in Minneapolis, then their bullshit gets put into the tax law and all of the rest of us like get to be whack-a-mole, you know,
yeah.
Stick your head up. And it just, again, what I got from Wendy was it's so overwhelming, you got no idea. But I do. I know it's overwhelming, and I have no expectation that the accountants want to fix it because that would lessen their billing ability.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to come from the citizens. You as an employee, you as an employer, you as an independent business owner, it is so out of control, and they're adding 87,000 more. If you remember the Karen and Ken during COVID,
mm-hmm.
That's who these people are going to be.
Yeah.
They're going to sit there and kind of watch it from afar. And if you're not doing something right, again, you're listing things on Facebook Marketplace, and you're exchanging the dough, the money, through Venmo or Zelle. You left them a perfect paper trail. It's all electronic, would say like even more.
Yeah, easy.
Because they don't like when you pull out an old shoebox of 7-year-old receipts and you can barely read them.
Yeah.
Because the ink faded, that's not your fault.
Mm.
You kept the receipt. They can't read it.
Yeah.
So they'll come after you for that, but at least you got some proof that you were trying to play by their rules, and the expectation is you're cheating them out of their money. So just super interesting. It's not getting simpler. It's more complicated. The controversy and what are the rules?
Yeah.
You know, really reminds me of when Bill Clinton said, it depends on what the meaning of the word is. That, to me, triggered, well, you're an attorney. You already know when you said that, how you just flipped the script on. As lay people, we have no idea. What do you mean what the definition of the word is? To us, we're just getting our fucking taxes ripped out of our paycheck. We can't say to anyone, depends on what the word is.
Well, yeah. And, you know, that's the legal meaning of the word is in the context of this particular statement. You know, and that's what the government does. You know, if you try to read the tax code, and I have tried to read sections of the tax code back when I was running my own thing in the 90s, and all I found was that paragraph 2 seems to contradict everything that was in paragraph 1. And then at some point you're reading it and you're still looking for the answer, and it refers you to whatever they call it. There's a number for the tax code. It refers to, you know, U.S. Department of Treasury 209 or something like that, and you look up U.S. Department of Treasury 209, and it's the entire tax code. So it's like, oh, yeah, well, your answer is in here someplace. And that's getting all the accountants and all the tax preparers thing. Poorly named Inflation Reduction Act that they passed that gives us 87,000 more IRS agents. There's $15 billion in there to set up some kind of system for the IRS to, well, not to set up the system. It's $15 billion to figure out what kind of system they would like to set up and what it would cost so that people don't have to file tax returns. And it's basically some way where they figure out what you owe, and then they set your taxes there that your employer collects, so that they don't have to file returns and you don't have to file. They don't have to send money back. But there was a deal they made a couple of years ago with the H&R Blocks and Jordan Hewitts and all those people, and the TurboTaxes. Where they would stay out of the tax preparation business. And so this thing comes up, and one of the bureaucrats says, well, yes, but we don't want the IRS getting into the tax preparation business. Well, the IRS is the reason that we're paying the taxes, that we have to prepare the tax forms and collect it. So why the hell not have them do it,
right,
the government, instead of us paying some private corporation? We're paying these people to sit down and figure it out. But that, again, that's the way it's, we'll do it as long as it doesn't get in the way of all these existing businesses, that if they did it this way, we wouldn't need any of those people. But
right. And the CPAs aren't going to let that happen.
Yeah. And, but that's a big corporate thing. That's a big, association stuff. They have lobbying money. They are up in Congress's. They're in Congress all day long, every day.
Right.
They're in the offices all day long, every day. We're not. Once every couple of years, we get to go to the polls, have a slim choice between bad and bad.
Right. Yes. You sound like Mitch McConnell, who is one of the worst leaders of all time. Even if you got a shit team, you don't have to tell anyone.
Yeah.
It's your deal to turn them into winners. Be the Herb Brooks. Bring the college kids and kick the commies' asses.
Yeah.
Be Lou Holtz. How many hundreds of examples are there in sports where, you shouldn't have won, but you did.
Mm-hmm.
Because you showed up to play the game.
Yeah. You prepared. You got a plan. You got the people under you. You got them engaged. And got them, got some pride in them.
And he doesn't. And so, I think it's just because he's beholden to the Chinese. That's his only thing, is he needs to retain power to keep his peace and his family. The way the white commentators talk about Herschel Walker, he can't talk in complete sentences. Negro can't speak in real sense. It's like, do you hear what the hell you're saying?
Oh, yeah.
This guy. If no one said you had to talk in complete sentences, it's like, are you presidential? Well, the president gets to set what's presidential for their term. You ain't not like it.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah. And he's not running for president anyway. Yeah, that's the thing. They talk about the way he talks instead of what he's talking about.
Correct.
And no matter how he speaks, you can understand very clearly what his ideas are.
Yeah. He can articulate the difference between him and Warnock, his opponent.
Yeah.
Which is something in Minnesota. We have this shitty Governor Walz, who's a piece of shit. Going to get five different government pensions because the fucker's been on five kits his whole life. And then the Minnesota Republican Party picks fucking Wilbur Milquetoast Jr., Scott, Dr. Scott Jensen, probably a great doctor, a terrible governor candidate in my eyes.
Yeah.
The Republican Party had an awesome candidate, Kendall Qualls from the West Metro, started in corporate America, was a pull your boots up, make your life, make a family, got into business. Nope. The brain surgeons, to use the doctor pun, in the Republican Party, shit the bed on this and have Matt Burke, a former Minnesota Viking, and I don't know Matt's politics, or it doesn't matter. The guy he's running with is, they have no fight in
him. Yeah.
These guys have no fight.
Well, that's, you know, it's one thing that my wife pointed out last week. She said, this Jensen guy, he's made some strong statements. He's anti-abortion and his other kind of stuff. And I said, well, the problem with this guy isn't his stance on anything. It's the fact that nobody's going to know who he is. Nobody's going to see him during the run. It's because the Republicans have picked another candidate that nobody knows and nobody's going to hear anything about. And she said, well, there are a lot of people, you know, that are coming out with these ads, bring up his anti-abortion stance. You know, that's going to come. But there was an actual article a few days later, because my wife is pretty smart, that said this guy is going to take a low profile because he doesn't want to have to be confronted over these stands that he took in the past. Well, if you can't stand up for what you
right.
said and what you believe in, just don't do it in the first place.
Then why did you run?
Yeah, why get involved? And like you said, yeah, Kendall Qualls was very intelligent.
He would have been very clear on why his position on abortion or what it was. And again, the anti-abortion or the pro-abortion people have Jensen in their crosshairs.
Yeah.
You know? And they keep running this ad. Oh, he wants to ban abortion. Slash public funding for public schools, tax giveaways for big corporations. So that's the group that's going after Jensen. On Jensen's website, A Vision for Minnesota, his top three things or its opening banner is listen, fight for what's right, do no harm. So Jensen, I know you're probably not going to hear this, but here's what you do, dipshit. You go out and you get in front of a fucking camera and you have a little baby and you say, I took a Hippocratic oath not to do no harm.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look at abortion, it's absolutely the last step if I have to do harm.
Yeah.
Because this is what happens. Every time a baby is delivered, this is what comes out. It's not a fucking car. It's not a television. It's a human being. They might be messed up. They may be deformed. They may have some kind of issue, but it's still a human being. I took the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm. So if you abortion people are into harming babies, that's something I can't do unless it's a last resort. And just pound that message. These people want to kill babies. You say you want to fight for what's right. Well, what's right is standing up. If you pick no harm, right?
Yeah.
Then his other bullshit is safety, energy, gas, women, and rural. Well, addressing the high gas prices, you're the fucking going to be the governor of Minnesota. How about this would be earth-shattering dipshit Dr. Jensen. How about you stand up and say, why don't we set our budget for sales tax on inflation? If inflation goes up 9.5%, sales tax comes down proportionately. The state would still get the same amount because that's all they need. They don't need any extra.
Yeah.
How about you take that tack there, Doc? Get the fuck out of the weeds. You committed to this. And Burke, if you're such a tough guy, take the microphone over and say, this is the positions we're going to take. But it's
yeah,
it's Walls is going to kick the piss out of these two dummies.
Right.
And Walz couldn't fight his way out of a wet paper bag.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, so many people were very unimpressed by the way, unimpressed or angry about the way he handled the pandemonium, you know, during
yes.
COVID, that, you know, looked like he was on his way out. Well, now they got somebody who's not going to stand up for it. And the other thing is abortion is one issue that's now it's been tossed back to the states, rightly, by the Supreme Court. But it's one issue. It is not the main or major issue in this state. And the governor can't ban abortion. It's a congressional action.
Correct. But he's not coming out clarifying
it. Yeah, he's not clarifying, you know, but you turn it around. Nixon was the great obfuscator. It's like, well, you know, abortion is one issue, but the real issue in Minnesota right now is, you know, our energy grid. How do we, you know, how do we get broadband out to the rural? Most of this state is rural. There are only a few major metropolitan areas in this state. You know, how do we do with these other things? And you turn the discussion around to these other topics that are important to a lot of other people than the pro-abortion people.
Right.
You know,
and he's got to address it. And then just like DeSantis does, if someone comes after him about it, he's right on it. In 10 seconds, gets them to, okay, I answered it. We're moving on.
Yeah.
Now back to, the rule. How about just crime in Minneapolis?
Well, yeah, this the whole crime. And, Minneapolis, again, because we don't have that many big cities, Minneapolis is the example, but any of the larger city municipal areas, I'm trying to say, they're facing the same kind of stuff. And, we got to take that on. And, you know, in his position, he puts pressure on the attorney general to, get things done. He puts pressure on the Bureau of Criminal Investigation or whatever it's called here, the statewide police agency that oversees other police agencies. You've got to spin the conversation around to the things that need to be addressed. And you got to at least show up and stand up. And, you know, if you said, this is where I stand on this, then stand.
Right.
I've
yet to see a TV commercial of his.
Oh, no.
I'm not watching PBS. I mean, I'm watching where the TV ads run.
Yeah, he is not going to come out and give anybody any ammunition. And they're already using what he said in the past against him. So, but this is now the third gubernatorial election, third consecutive gubernatorial election in the state where the Republicans have put up somebody that nobody knows and that do not campaign. And so, it's...
Walz should beat you, Jensen, and Burke like a drum.
Yeah, it's going to happen. There are, the two guys from the Marijuana Now, Legalized Marijuana Now, and Legalized Cannabis Party that can't get together and just be one party.
Right.
So, they're going to split their 1% of the vote. They're not taking votes away from either one of them because it's only the Stone guys who send in absentee ballots that are voting for these guys.
And Walz on his campaign website, under his accomplishments were the economy, public safety, abortion rights, health care, COVID-19, and the environment. So,
and the environment, when nobody was driving, the air, was really good. When the economy, when they got all this funding to support all the places that were forced to shut down during COVID, the state stuck that into the bank and then turned around and decided to tax all the businesses that money was supposed to help, if they did give them any of that money, to tax them to pay it back. It's like these one-word things are really great for campaigning. You just got one word, good, peace, wonderful.
Environment.
Yes, I'm for wonderful. Well, how are we going to get wonderful? Well,
hold on here. Next.
Yeah.
I mean, they do. They just move along, and it gets, it's just going to be interesting. You know, none of this really kicks up to Labor Day, which is a week away, 2 weeks away, I guess.
Yeah, it's the weekend after next. Yeah.
And so that's a little bit about Minnesota politics. This will remain a blue state, unfortunately. We're in flyover country, and that's just how it goes. So that's it for the Reardon Report. It's Tuesday, August 23rd, 2022. Again, I want to thank Wendy Barlin for coming on earlier, talking some text code smack. And thanks again, Conway, for running a good board.
Oh, it's always fun to be here.
We'll talk to you next week. Keep it safe.